Okay, thank you so much for the invitation. I don't know how we'll be discussed because I discovered the paper now. You changed the presentation. So, well, I hope it will be not too much repetitive. So, as you already said, actually, migration in Italy has undergone dramatic change in the last 15 years, and especially in the last 10 years. Of course, on the front of migration, but also in terms of economic shifts and in terms of the evolution of the political scene. So on the one hand, the nature of migration has completely changed since the end of the 2000s. But I think we should question the issue of refugee crisis. We have to be critical with this expression because it's more complicated than it seems. And in fact, we have witnessed an important increase in sea landings, and you already showed the pictures and the graphs. But of course, it's a long story, actually. And Italy has a long-lasting story of dealing with sea landings, as you will remember. I'm sure you know this photograph because, at least in France, it's in the school books about the arrivals of tens of thousands of Albanese people on the shores of the Strait of Otranto in the 1990s. So the increase of sea landings has several reasons. Of course, it's related to the greater insecurity, to the political instability in the wide Mediterranean. And of course, these people are entitled, most of them, to legal protection. And they apply, at least for legal protection, because they have fled persecution and because they have been trafficked or because they have experienced tragedies on the way to Italy. But another reason, of course, why this increase in sea landings has happened is also because, as you know, other ways of entering into Europe have become more difficult. So the rise in sea crossing is also correlated with the difficulty and the rise in so-called irregular crossing, as the increase of irregular migration is connected to the difficulty of entering legally on the territory. And another point that you already raised, actually, is that the fact that it's become increasingly difficult in Italy to regularize through the regularization scheme, which, again, puts a lot of pressure on the Italian territory, because as the only way to regularize, except from, of course, family reasons, is more or less asylum request, this asylum system is under pressure. So some scholars describe this process as a refugeeization process. Some even talk about a refugeeization of the labor market, because of course, with the refugee crisis, even if there is an economic crisis going on in Italy, but it's going on for 30 years actually, people continue to work. So some of them will use we work for free or nearly for free, because there are some specific laws regulating the free labor of asylum seekers, but some of them will continue to work, and especially the case for women in the care sector. They are not all, of course, asylum seekers. So this issue of arrivals in Southern Europe have affected mainly Greece and Italy, as you know, and have a strong impact on the outlook of the European Union in terms of discussing whether we should share the burden. Because, of course, according to international and national norms, people arriving in Italy need, first of all, to be rescued at sea. And the sea is a very important feature of discussions in Italy, and we'll come back to this, but also because people need to be granted the basic logistical operations related to the processing of these people, so fingerprint, of course, screening, and what Italy calls the prima accoglienza, which is the first reception, so everything you need when you arrive, so temporary shelter, basic health and sanitary care, and so on. As you know also, hotspots were located, nearly all of them, on islands. And so islands in this moment, in this specific moment, the 2010s, 2015 actually, became very important in the geopolitical frame of the Mediterranean. And as you know, the model, the hotspot model, failed completely, and this is one of the reasons probably why the opinion so drastically changed in Italy. So one point is also about the evolution of the Mediterranean model. There is a huge literature on in the 1990s and 2000s on the so-called Mediterranean or South European, since we are talking about also making parts in the book. I think it was an important point. It was not only late commerce through immigration, but they shared many features. So Italy and Greece, of course, Spain, Portugal, and Malta, Slovenia, and so on. And in some ways, the Mediterranean model during the 2010s exploded completely. And it's difficult now to find, except from the issue of the refugee issue, to find some common features between the different countries, because most of them have experienced the crisis, true, but the effect of the labor market have been very different, and also in terms of dealing with asylum and on political consequences of the crisis, the situations are very different. But the common feature is that it seems that the figure of the migrant worker has completely disappeared from the discussion on these countries. And my claim would be, though of course with the economic crisis, the number of migrant workers has not increased, but my point would be to continue to discuss this idea of migrant work. So I will be very, very, very short. Another point I wanted to make is the fact that we need to look so at the shift in the political game from the land to the sea. So how the sea became somehow a political battleground. And of course, a very important moment. 2011 is very important because it was a Tunisian crisis, and the way that crisis has been dealt with, both in Europe and in Italy and in France, actually, is very important to understand why the consequences and in terms of Italian policy. But then Mare Nostrum, of course, is the most important episode. Because there is, if you can see, if you remember Ted's graph on the opinion towards immigration, this is the moment. 2014, this is the moment in which the opinion drastically changed because Italians saw Mare Nostrum as, and the first operation after the shrimp wreck in 2013, as a very important moment in building a kind of national pride on issues of solidarity. And since there hasn't been any solutions in terms of helping Italy, there has been a really drastic change in opinion 1 year after, with the stop of Mare Nostrum. So another question I'd like to address, but I will not answer, is that whether there is a Salvinian turn today in politics. What is the continuity? What is the turn? It's very important because, of course, there is a we can find both. I mean, there are continuities in terms of if we look at the labor market, for example, in terms of utilitarian politics, but at the same time, there is a huge authoritarian turn, so we need to discuss both, and in terms of political instability, but I will not go into detail. Maybe the last point I'd like to raise is about the increasing importance, I guess, but it's a long story because it started in the 1990s in Italy, of local actors. This is a map of mayors opposing to the Salvini decree law, and I think it's very interesting to see how it is widespread in the territory, and the local response in Italy now to Salvini are provided on the local front. And it gives place also to new alliances, transnational alliances of cities in Europe. And we definitely need to look also at the local level. Some authors define this movement a new municipalism, and I think we should look at this. Okay, I stop.
Great, thank you, Camille. This is the second time I have the honor to comment one chapter of the book. The first one was in Dallas, and I still remember the marvelous tequila shots at the hotel. They were really great. And I think there is a continuity between Dallas and now, which has been the discussion about how much Italy fits into a European pattern or it's an anomalous case. TED has sponsored Dallas, if I remember well, the idea that Italy was more a kind of extraordinary stuff in which party politics was very key. And now it tends to claim that EU policy constrains and imposes will on Italian stuff. I would try to suggest a different model in which Italy is just a normal, I'm sorry, for my own country, it's a normal, banal, trivial European country with all the problems which all European countries have, unfortunately. And actually, from Dallas to now, these similarities have become stronger and stronger, not so much because Italy has improved, but because the other country have been gone down. But anyway, the gap has closed. Because if we think what's happened in this decade in Italian immigration policies, we find three things which have pushed it much closer to European policies or non-policies or whatever than it is. First, Italy used to have a labor migration. And that was a great difference from Northern European countries and a source of conflict because most of the policies devised at the EU level were meant to prevent the arrival of asylum seekers, while Italy didn't have asylum seekers and wanted low-skilled workers, because not high-skilled workers. Italy is a country which looks for low-skilled workers. And in the last decades, as Camilla said, the issue of labor has basically disappeared from the agenda and asylum has become the topic. So this is the first convergence. The second, traditionally, if you look at any opinion poll done in Italy from 1977, when migration started to be a concern, there were very few immigrants, but they were already concerned, to 2010, Italians were worried about crime and security as brought by immigration, and sometimes that they could spoil their loved welfare. But they didn't care about cultural differences, and they, of course, they didn't care about immigrants taking away jobs because it's such a segmented market which was very implausible. Now, and that was a huge difference with Northern Europe, where cultural difference was already a very strong stuff, and competition on the labor market was a very strong stuff. In the last 5 years, I will document the difference has completely disappeared, and the model of attitudes make Italy the most extreme case of the Visegrad group, more or less. Geographically, it seems a blasphemy, but if you look at the Pew Research Center polls or at the Eurobarometer and whatever, that's the conclusion you have. The Italy is always clustered there among Hungary and Poland, more or less. Actually, with higher level of hostility to immigrants than stuff. The third stuff, which makes Italy closer to the northern Italian model, let's say, is precisely what Ted mentioned, the fact that there has been, traditionally there were amnesties. Amnesty actually in Italy worked quite well. People arrived, were tried in the informal economy, got resident permits, entered the formal economy, stayed in the formal economy later. But now, in part for legal reasons, in part for economic reasons, actually there is a segment of people who cannot be deported but cannot be integrated either, which is exactly the problem of irregular migration, as in decades of discussion with my Dutch, Norwegian, Swedish colleague, I always had to deal, explaining that in Italy that was not a problem. Irregular people knew that they would be regularized in a few years and whatever. So in this sense, Italy has become, even more than in the past, a European country, which makes it much more exotic, as it should be. But an important factor which has not been mentioned, and I would like to stress, is just the public opinion changes, which have been really strong, and they have been linked, I don't think, with the number or the European policies concerning refugees as much as the feature of the refugee crisis itself. Let's see at the hard data first and exploratory hypothesis later. The hard data says that between 1977, the first poll ever done in Italy on foreign immigration, to 2004, when we published our book, Asher Colombo and I published our book, all the polls had a very clear model of perception and attitudes toward immigrants in Italy, which were basically Politically, there are two blocks. One is pro-immigration at any cost, who cares, no matter, pro, and another block which is against, no matter what. And in the middle, there is a majority of fluctuating opinions, which day by day changes position. A very general low salience of immigration issues, in the sense that people complain about immigration, but they don't go in the electoral booth against immigration, they go in the electoral booth against something else. I worry, as I mentioned, for immigrants as a threat for security, but not for cultural difference. And an opposition to new entries, but not to the people already there. That's what's very strong. Even the people who said that they should basically use the guns against those trying to enter, which was very difficult because they were entering with a visa anyway, but anyway, agreed that those who were already in Italy had to be integrated somewhat. And finally, a large consensus on the fact that children of immigrants were Italian. You say that's the reason for which the law against the reform of the citizenship law looks so natural as an issue, because anybody in Italy thought, even on the right, that they were Italian. Now, if we look at the situation now, taking the polls from, let's say, 2016 to now, we find the opposite. First of all, the group against immigration has grown enormously and the other has shrunk. And the fluctuating middle is much smaller than it used to be. Migration has acquired a high electoral silence. I think that TED shown some data, but you can see data that it has been actually the issue which has determined part of the staff. There is a strong worries about Italian cultural identity, whatever it is. But there is also a strong opposition to giving right to those who are already here in meaning in Italy, which is completely new, never was there. And there is a very low consensus for naturalizing children, which is, given the Italian cult for children, particularly worrisome. This is a radical change. It has to do not so much with entries and control, but as integration policies. And it's going to stay because, contrary to what many of us would love to think, it's not the populist Northern League which is cashing and creating this climate, but actually it's this climate which has made strong the Northern League, in the sense that poll strength started earlier when the Northern League was in shambles and anybody thought it was dead. Let's say the only difference is that the Northern League is very good at communication, is very good at cashing upon the opinion of the electorate, while the left is a failure which still trusts academic and journalists to get the public opinion. And so the result is that they win and the left lose. But this change is perfectly good, explanatory hypothesis and the closed. Well, first of all, when we talk about bot landing, we are talking of the quintessential uninvited guest. Symbolically and semiotically, there is nothing to say about it. It's like the caravan at the Mexico border. If you want to perceive the refugee as a pretentious and pushy uninvited guest, that's the perfect icons that you want to see. Second, we should look at the composition of the refugee flows in Italy, which is slightly different from what you get in the Greek corridor. In the Greek corridor, you used to get Syrians and whatever, which are considered by most as bona fide refugees, as you see from recognition rates. The nationalities of the people arriving through Libya are completely different and are much more contentious in terms of acknowledging them as bona fide refugees, which is one of the reasons for which the data TED shows that actually Italy has a very low recognition rate. If you do it that it should be done, not comparing recognition rate by countries, but comparing recognition rate by nationality in all countries, you will realize that the nationality which compose the Italian flows are actually with a very low recognition rate across Europe, not only in Italy. They have very gloomy employment prospects. And finally, and we shouldn't forget because I didn't mention, they are young, male, and black. Race is a key issue. Immigration in Italy from the early end of the 90s had considerably widened up. People were arriving from Eastern Europe and they were, well, as it happens, white, while refugees are black. We may forget these key points, but we have ample evidence that race is a key factor in this kind of opposition. So I'm finishing. I promise when Jim will organize the conference for the fifth edition of the book, which I hope will be very soon, right, Jim? I count on you, don't disappoint me. There will be two questions that we should answer at the time. First, is this change a temporary phase or is actually the beginning of a new phase? And Ted, sorry, that will be your work to write for the moment. And second, how strong is really the liberal regime? Because the liberal regime in Italy has been traditionally very strong in protecting immigrants, but it was opposing very conflictual and very divided governments with public opinion radically split. Now, public opinion is pretty strong, and the government, at least in the Northern League section, is pretty decided. Will it resist? Jim, I count to your next conference for answering.